I just came back from, I think this is the first time teaching since back from vacation. It was pretty amazing. Me and my family got to go 26 hours total of driving, which I drove because Shelby is way better at handling the kids. You know, like in the middle of driving, I can drive, I can turn the steering wheel, and she is great at handling the chaos in the back. And so she thinks about everything. We had a snack basket and stuff, and she did an amazing job. But so excited. This summer is going to be so much fun. As Pastor Allen said, we have so much coming up that we just get to encounter and walk with each other and have fun. I'm extremely excited. I'm really excited about this men's event. First men's event in multiple years, probably. I can't even remember. Probably five, close to four. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I have actually, I was talking to Ricardo, I have removed myself partially from playing. One, unfair, you know, semi-pro. No, I'm just kidding. I'm awful at Bago. But I'm going to be the game master. I'm going to oversee the rules because that's my gig. And you can't do that when you're playing. Somebody told me that. I don't know. Sounds odd to me, but okay. But, hey, I'm so excited about sharing today. This is Father's Day. It came. They said I could have Father's Day, and I jumped on it because I think that a father being a man, like there's so much that we can pour into y'all, and it's just it's a place that I think God is really wanting to expand and use. And so with the men's event coming up, I'm just beyond excited what God's going to be doing in the lives of the men here. When I look back on it and I was praying about it, I just felt like God, two things that God really wanted to touch on today is God, one, wanted to encourage the men here and the men that you know in your lives, and then we want to empower them. And we want to tell them that God placed them where they're at with the kids that they have or the nieces, nephews, wherever you are in your life, God's placed you there for a reason because you're going to make a difference. And you bring a part that no one else can bring. And so that's something that through the men in my life that have helped me grow, that's something that they've repeatedly told me, and it's just become a staple in how I raise my kids, that I'm not just there by happenstance, and I'm not there just to watch, but I'm there to make a difference. And so I get to raise three boys that they are good, they're loved, and to encourage them and empower them to be who God's called them to be. And so I'm so excited about that. I was actually thinking about when I was looking at my life and I was looking back on all the fathers and the men who have poured into my life. And let me tell you, I'm beyond blessed, guys. I named a few of them, and I'm probably going to say a few of them, but the list keeps going. You know, it is wild. I've got an amazing dad, my grandpas, I have Mr. Keith Allen, Josh Carillon, Ricardo. I'm going to name a few. David Weatherly, and then the list keeps going, right? I can't even name it. Like I was like, this is going to turn into one of them books with all the names, man. What's going on here, right? And so I was praying about it. I'm like, I am beyond blessed. And as I got to watch these guys raise their kids or father people at church, I would just watch them and be like, that is incredible. Like God, I got to watch them be used by God to direct people and change people's lives. And so the idea of raising up people and being a father to someone has always, from the beginning, really, has always been a staple in my life that's something I want to do. And it's something I'm extremely passionate about. I'm passionate about seeing the young men with little kids, or even that's why I'm in the youth, right? Raising up young men because I want them to build a foundation. I want them to be raised up knowing God chose them to be here for a reason, that the Word of God has something for them today, and that God's going to use them powerfully in wherever He's called them, and to hear where He's called them and to pursue it, no matter what it looks like. And so I get to do that at conferences on Wednesday nights, and out of that I'm getting to see young men raise up and take their spot where God's called them, and it's absolutely amazing. But as I was looking at my life, I could have named countless people, but there was one individual, and I was going to throw up a picture, but I would get way too emotional. In my life, one that stood out was I had a my grandpa Joe, which he passed away 10 years ago, 11 years ago this year. And we called him Grandpa Choo Choo because he took us to the trains when we were little. I didn't realize that wasn't his name till I was like 15. I was like, Grandpa Choo Choo. They said, you know, it's Grandpa Jackson. I was like, you know, mind blown. Like, I was like, no way. And so he never corrected it. He just, that's just what we called him, right? And so as I was growing up, my dad worked a ton. I saw him on the weekends only, but my Grandpa Joe was there, right? He was there. He poured into my life. Anytime we moved, they moved with us. And he never missed a game. He never missed an event. He was always there. He would always encourage me. He was the guy that would shout out stuff. He'd be like, throw the bum out at games and stuff and embarrass me. He'd yell at the refs and stuff. And you never questioned what he was thinking because he said it, right? He stood up in front of his church and shared his grievances about stuff. And I had people coming up to me afterwards like, oh, man, did you, you know. I'm like, I'm 15, what do I know, you know. But he never knew what he would say because he just say what he was thinking. And but an amazing individual. I never doubted that he loved me. And anytime after a game, if I did good, did bad, whatever, he would encourage me and then he would want to help me get better. They have pictures of this, of my grandpa. One day he's wrestling with us. We're playing sword fights or, you know, playing baseball out in the front yard. And then you turn the picture to the, you know, turn the page to the next picture. And he's got hair extensions in. And he's organizing a fashion show for my cousins. And it's like, he lived to be with his grandkids. And you know what's crazy is I think around 15, the same time I found out that his name wasn't Grandpa Choo Choo, I found out that he was actually my mom's stepdad. We weren't blood, we weren't anything. And as I think about that, you know, so many times he didn't have to do any of that. He didn't have to love us that way. He didn't have to be at those games. He didn't have to move with us. He didn't have to do any of that, right? And so, but he loved us so much, he chose to do it. And that's something that, which again, he passed away about 11 years ago, but that's something I think about every week, about how much he loved us and the way in which he loved us. And it's left its mark on me, and I think about my boys, and they won't get to meet him, but I'll get to the lessons that I've learned and the stuff that he taught me. And he taught me how to drive a stick shift. My dad helped me, but I jumped in and he was so smooth. Like, you know, I was like, wow. And then it's like, oh, he probably drove one for 30 years, you know. So it's second nature. But he taught me how to do that. He taught me all different. He encouraged me to seek to get a better job. He's like, you gotta have health insurance, you gotta have this. And so he pushed me, hey Tyler, you can do this, you can. He just encouraged us all the time. And so just an amazing individual. I got the privilege to just pull from him, right? And so, and something that God's really taught me through that is that one, it doesn't matter the circumstance, you can love. He's called us to love, right? And so as I was thinking about this, and I remembered growing up and seeing individuals like him and my dad and the men of God who were around me, I just remember watching them, seeing them, and going, man, I want to do that. From a young age, I remember I had a heart. I just wanted to be a father. And not just my own boys, but I wanted to raise up men. And I wanted to teach them how to build that foundation. I wanted them to go above where I was at, right? And I just wanted to keep pushing that. And as I was growing up, though, I started seeing this, like, almost like this narrative, you know, in society. You'd see in movies or, you know, the dads were angry. The dads weren't really ever there. They were hit or miss. And you just saw, even in commercials, I started seeing this narrative that basically the dad was almost to the point of really useless. And what I started, almost to the point that they devalued the role that a father in people's lives plays. As I'm watching this, and I God just hit it once probably 2-3 months ago just really spoke to me about this, and I started noticing and picking up on it, like in every situation, TV series, movie, or commercial, whatever it may be, or even conversation. And I'm like, God, like, why is this hitting me? Why is this sticking? And then I heard it and I looked it up, but the study, I started reading on studies of how men are and progress and where we're at. And it said, and I read this one and I just want to put it in here. It said, men consistently account for roughly 80% of all suicides annually. They said it's the leading cause of death in men under 50 right now. And I think, and it also said that across North America and Western Europe, it revealed that fewer than 1 in 5 men contacted mental health professionals the year prior to death by suicide. And as I'm reading this article, I'm starting to see there's something, we're missing something here. There's something missing, right? And God spoke to me. He said, when we start seeing that get devalued, the role that you play gets devalued and you don't see the value in that anymore, then we start seeing the results in this. And suicide, in which I see it a lot in work, suicide is the point when people are at that point, it's there's no other option, right? There's no other place. They don't have hope. They don't feel like they bring anything to the table. They, you could just go on and on. And as I was reading this, I was like, God, like, there's a problem here, and I know who you are, and that you're a good God, so there's an answer. And so as I'm talking to God, he highlighted the story of Barnabas. And I don't know how many of y'all, like, if y'all want to read it, he starts in Acts 11. I was praying, and I just want to read just the opening involving him, and then I'm going to read just a description of him. And so it says that they sent him out to, began speaking in Antioch, telling the good news. Let me find where I'm at. And so they sent him out, right? And it says, when he arrived, he saw that the grace of God had what the grace of God had done, and he was glad, and he encouraged them to remain in the Lord with all his heart. And it's described that he was a good man filled with the Holy Spirit, and great number of people came to him. And then at one point he sought out Saul. And I just want to tell y'all about this guy. So his original name was Joseph, and the apostles around him named Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. In which I would like to highlight this. If the people around you are naming you, hey, you're the person who encourages. Like, they're like, hey, Joseph doesn't fit anymore. This is who you are. And so it says he's remembered for his radical generosity, how he sought out Saul, who became Paul, and launched him into his ministry. And he took multiple, and if you read through it and you research it, what he did was he took multiple people and projected them into who they were called to be. And so he took Saul, what he did was he sought out Saul, he brought him before the apostles and told Saul's story, and he became Paul, right? And so as you read into this story, and then not only did he stop there, but then he brought his cousin John Mark, and he brought him along on a trip with them. And then at some point he left. Like, it says he abandoned mid-trip. And then years later they planned a second trip, and that he wanted to bring Mark again, right? And there was a little bit of a split, but what happened was he went with Mark and he encouraged him. And so he encouraged and he taught and he trained Paul. And then he goes and teaches Mark. And what out of those two men, what we get is 14 books of the Bible. And when you look at, if you look at what Paul did with the 13 books, he not only, he radically transformed and set us on a place to where we could pursue God in such a defined way. Like, he set a standard. He pushed us to a place. He sought God so powerfully. And then I loved the way this described it. It said in the Gospel of Mark, the way it was written, it was, they describe it as a vivid gospel that expresses emotion. And so he poured out this emotion into the book. And you're looking at two people, one person who killed Christians and one person who ran away because he was afraid. And some time with a man who's known as the Son of Encouragement, both of those turned to radical Christians who shaped the culture of Christianity for the rest of the generations, right? And we're still pulling from Paul and applying a life, and it's changing people's lives. And as I was looking at this, and I just felt in my heart that God's called us to be people who encourage. And so men and women who encourage, and especially I just felt like that's the biggest role I think a father plays. Like, I don't know how many times my sons will come up to me and they'll say, "Oh, Dad, I can't do it." I'm like, "You can do this, man. Here, I'll stand here. I'll hold your hand." Or they'll come up to me. The other night, my middle kid was like, "Dad, I want to grab my blanket." And I was like, "Oh, go grab it." He said, "Oh, it's dark. I'm scared." I was like, "Oh, I'll stand at the doorway." And so I went and stood at the doorway. I'm like, "You got this. Go grab it." Ran in, grabbed it, no problem, came back out, right? That wasn't anything profound. I didn't, like, you know, preach the gospel for an hour. I didn't quote any Bible verses. I didn't do anything. All I was is I encouraged and I was present. And something that I think I just want to just say, and I'm going to keep saying, is that, guys, what we bring as fathers, not only to our kids, but to the men around us, it's so valuable, you can't put a price tag on it. Like, I'm around these individuals at work as I'm picking up kids, and as you know, there's gang violence, there's all this stuff going on. And as I just get 2-3 minutes to the hospital with them and I'm talking to them, I realize they don't have that in their life, right? It's not that they don't have men around them, but they don't have men around them who encourage them and push them to where he's calling them to be, right? And so they don't have the influence of God around them and speaking into their life, telling them, "Hey, man, you know, you can do that. If you feel called to be a mechanic, go be a mechanic. Go do it. Go own your own business. Go start this. If you feel called to be a teacher, go do this." Like as I'm thinking, as I'm sitting with these young men, I'm seeing this, right? I'm seeing a trend that they didn't have those Barnabas men in their life. And so as I was praying about it, as I'm seeking God, I just felt this strong pull that God's placed us here for a reason, one, and that he's called us to encourage people. Like, I've told a bunch of people this, that this, y'all in here, guys, y'all have so much, one, potential. And then any time I get to talk to you, it brightens my day. And I think, and I can say this for myself, for so long I didn't see the value in it, right? I didn't see the value in when I talked to people, and so I just wouldn't. And so I didn't see the value, and I'm the worst person to text back at times, and for the longest time I saw that, and God's been working with me the past couple of years, that I wouldn't text people that I felt like I should encourage or whatnot, because I didn't feel like they'd even care. And so many times I think as men we just think that we've just pushed that off and go, "Oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter if I show this person I care." And I've just, as I'm reading this, as I'm reading the studies, I realize that people need encouragement so bad. Like the guys around us, and not only the guys around us, the guys who are men, godly men, that these young guys, they need y'all. They need y'all speaking into their lives. They need that influence. And I remember looking back at youth camps, and we'd have some rough youth, man, growing up. And there was one camp, maybe two camps. Like, we did a summer camp, and all the men were working, and they showed in the evenings. Let me tell you, I missed y'all. I missed those men, because I would be, like, in charge of the dorms, and I was, like, 20, and I'd have, like, 20 or 30 young men, and then it got wild. Like, I was like, y'all have to police yourselves to a certain point, because I can't do everything here. And but I missed that influence. And as soon as those, it's wild, as soon as those men came back in, it just got so much easier, right? And I remember all those camps of, and just getting to see God use those guys. And just, I even remember camps to where, like, these rough kids, these kids with ankle monitors on, these kids with, you know, drug problems, home life problems. And I see, I remember our adult men just standing and praying over them, hugging them, and those kids just breaking and just crying and just pouring all those emotions out. And all they needed was one of those burly men that we take up to youth camp that look rough, just to give them a hug and say, "Hey, man, I love you." And then they're just broken, right? And so I think as I was praying about this morning session and just Father's Day in general, there's a few things that I felt like some people here, they feel like they're in that kind of Paul, the Mark and Paul transition, right? Like, some of y'all are like, "Man, I've done so much, or I've gone through so much. I don't see a way to it." And you just need a Barnabas in your life that raises you up and encourages you. And then also there's some people who are just, they know God, they know what God does, but they just have this fear. Whether it be financial, whether it be emotional, relational, whatever it might be, I just feel like that we have this thing that it just feels like it's blocking us. And as I was praying about this, I felt like God said that there's a lot of people that are just one encouragement away from their breakthrough. And so as I was praying about it, I even thought about the guys who aren't here, who are in my life, who are so far from God, it's not even funny, right? Who just are chasing it away from God almost at this point. And I look at those guys and I'm thinking, all it takes is one person, right? Just that one person to step up and go, "Hey, you're a good person. I love you. Here's some encouragement. You're doing great." This, and just to pour into their life. And then you go from having someone who's persecuting, killing people, to all of a sudden they're raising up next generation of leaders. And so the highlight of this to me is that, one, no one's too far away. And then, two, God's placed y'all here for a reason. Throughout the week, I kept thinking about my Grandpa Joe and this, the influence he had on my life. And I think about these guys, and just, they would say subtle things. And those subtle things would change how I look at the world around me. Right. Whether, and then sometimes they do stuff that I would laugh at, you know. Some people's way of showing affection was to throw an elbow and hit you in the chest. Pastor Allen did that for years to me. You'd be like, "Hey, Tyler, bah!" Like, "Oh, like, I think that guy loves me." But I just feel like that, guys, I want to start off by, I'm so thankful for y'all. I'm so thankful for what you bring. I look around and I see just a group of kids, and you know, we have a bunch of kids running around. And you know what's so awesome is you'll see a kid run up to this person, and this dad will pick him up, and it's not his kid, and he'll play love, and that person will run off, and then they'll pick up. And it's just like these kids know they can go to any dad here, any man here, and they feel loved, right? And you get to just watching y'all pour out love and just show affection, guys. I don't think you see, sometimes we don't see the value in that, right? And so I'll say even this, I've had youth that were hard. They were rough. I would go back and I'd be like, I don't know if we can kick somebody out at this point, but this guy's treading the waters here. And so, but then years later, they come up and give me a big hug and they're like, "You changed my life." And I'm like, "Dude, I got on to you every Wednesday. And like told you I was going to send you to your parents. Like, all right, man." And you know, but it just that consistency and that he knew, and I'd pray for him, you know. And so, guys, y'all carry such value. Y'all have such an impact around you. Don't downplay who you are. God placed you here for a reason. Let me tell you, the boys tell me all the time, "Dad, you're a terrible driver." This morning, and I said, "Well, why am I a terrible driver?" They said, "You speed." I was like, "That's not true. That is not even true. I never speed." And then they got on this kick of saying, I called them. I don't even know why this is a problem. One of them said, I called them a donut. I was like, I didn't call you a donut. And they're like, you called it. And the other one chimes in, you called them a donut. I'm like, no, like I did not. And then they start dying laughing. I'm like, how? How is this? But you know what? They something that I know my boys, and I ask them every night. I lay in their bed every night. I'm like, man, who loves you? And they're like, you do. I'm like, that's a good answer. Let's stay up 15 minutes longer. No, I'm just kidding. I ask them every night because I want them to know, one, I love them. And the guys around me, the guys that I get to do life with, I just want to speak to y'all right now and say, guys, the value I have for you, what you've poured into my life, how much I care about you, and if you ever had something that you needed, I would want you to call me. Right? Because what y'all do, y'all are my family. Y'all are people I care about. Y'all are people I want to see succeed. And so as we do life together, as we do this, I just feel like God wants to release something into your lives. And so I'm here today. I just want to encourage and release y'all into who you're called to be and tell you you have a value and that you bring something that's absolutely incredible that no one else can bring. And then also, Pastor Allen and Miss Dana came up to me today, and they had a kind of an encounter time, worship time that they wanted to do today. And so I feel like it's, and if I were, I don't want to say too much about it, but I feel like that God's wanting to release y'all in who you're called to be today. And so out of that, I don't know what that looks like for each individual person, but I just feel this pool, as they were telling me about what God's going to do and what they felt like they were supposed to do, I just felt this thing that God's got this surplus that he's just wanting to pour on y'all today. And so it might be words, it might be whatever. God might touch you really deeply, but whatever it looks like, I just feel like that God's got something for you. So I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm going to hand it over for ministry time. So no one run out the gate once I finish prayer, okay? So we aren't quite done. So, dear God, I'm so thankful for this group that came today, Lord. And I'm just especially thankful for the amazing dads we have in this room and just the amazing men that they are raising our kids, they're helping us, they're staying side by side with us. And, dear God, I just encourage them. Any area that they have doubt in who they are and the identity of who you've given them, we just speak to that and we just ask you to move during this ministry time. Just take off the lies and reveal the truth, Lord. And I'm so beyond thankful. Again, I can't stop saying how thankful I am. Amen. I'm going to hand it over. There he goes.
Okay, Tyler. Thank you. That's amazing. I've known Tyler since he was a little boy. And he was active. Let's just say that. He heard his name called a lot, and it's good. Guys, so yeah, Miss Dana, where you want to come up? You're going to help do this. Okay, men, guess what? What Tyler said was true. He wanted to encourage you, and he wants to empower you. And to what Tyler shared was so important and so big. You know you can only break what you drop, Chris. No, I'm kidding. It's okay. It's his book. It's Emsley's book, isn't it? Yeah, it's not hers. Okay, guys, you can only give away what's been given you. You know, Jesus said, the Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. And guys, God's wanting to empower you to give away. Like, that's what we were created for. What Tyler's talking about is really true. We were created for that. We were created to father, whether it's birth, you know, blood fathering or spiritual fathering or just relational fathering. That's hard. That's who we are. But you can't give anything away that you don't have, right? Like, I'm not going to ask you to teach me how to run a chainsaw if you've never touched one. We'll find somebody who knows how to do it. And God wants to give you stuff this morning, and what we're talking about is a big deal. So this morning, Dana, God has given her in really, I believe she's heard from the Lord on what he's wanting to give this morning, some specific things. And so I'm gonna, she's going to share this. And then I'm going to ask you to step out. I'm going to ask you men to step out if God's calling you to. Now, you know, I said it already this morning, somebody, we believe in freedom. You don't have to do anything. You do what the Lord allows you to do. But I'm going to ask you to do something, okay? So, Dana, you want to share? Yes.
Okay, so a couple weeks ago, I was praying for Father's Day and was like, God, what is your heart for the fathers? And this is what I heard, and so I'm going to read it. It says, some are still waiting for that approval or permission to be the man you believe you're supposed to be. And can I tell you, Jesus gave you permission to be who he created you to be the moment he knit you together in your mother's womb. I feel like some are carrying a heaviness, basically, the weight of the world, the bills, marriage, kids, job, the list of things that need to be done. I feel like Jesus is saying, I will carry it for you. I will take the load off if you'll trust me with it. And this morning he woke me up pretty early, and the thing that I heard was, it's time to lay it to rest. So whatever that looks like for you, I think it could be 1,000 different things, but today's the day he wants to lay it to rest with you.
Thank you, Dana. So that's a big thing. And she had a song. So we're going to have a time for all of us to hear from the Lord, but particularly men. You know, men, we need encouragement. Do y'all know that? I mean, that's what Tyler did great of saying it, and I'll hit you again if you want to, if that makes you feel better. You know, we need encouragement. It's something. It's hard. It's hard what God's called us to do. We can't do it in our own strength. You can't do it if you don't have Jesus with you. The Holy Spirit is the only source of life there is. And guys, this morning, I believe God wants to give you something. So we're going to have a time where you're going to have an encounter with Jesus. And I know how us men are. It makes us nervous. We don't like it. And you don't have to do it. I'm not even saying we're all supposed to. Not saying that. But I believe God wants to do what Dana just talked about this morning for us. And so here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Get that out of the way. Men and boys, there's no boys in here, I don't think. Well, y'all aren't boys. You and Caleb are men now. Yeah, y'all are men. Zohas, who's sitting by you, Jacob? Oh, Zohas, I can't see. He has a hat on. It's like a shadow. Okay, so men, we're going to play a song. Don't think negative about this. That because often we do. Dana has heard from the Lord, and I listened to the song this morning, and I think it's directly from the heart of God to us men. God's speaking to us, and he'll speak to you in this song. And so we're going to play a song, but I'm going to put you guys on the spot. I don't want to stand up here by myself. So I'm going to ask, if you're a man and you're willing to stretch out there and hear from the Lord this morning, because that's this song is really the Lord speaking to us. So if you're a man, sorry, girls, you've got a very important place, ladies. But if you're a man and you'd be willing to join me up here and to hear from the Lord this morning about what he wants to do in your life. So he wants to give you something today so you can give it away. I love what Kelly was saying. It was hard not to stumble those words. God gives you a supply so you can be somebody else's supply. God loves you so you can love somebody else. God encourages you so you can encourage somebody else. God gives you insight and wisdom so you can give somebody else. It's to give it away. That's God's heart. So this morning, men, men, we don't like to look at you guys. We're going to be looking that way. But if you're a man and you're willing to hear from the Lord this morning this way, I want you to come up front. And men, let's just like
stay in this area. Looking that way.
Look that way. Don't look at the people. I'm not going to look at the people. Once we start the music, I'm not looking anymore. Okay? So men, let's all stand up. Ladies, y'all help us. If you stand up, it gives us more courage. And yeah, so men, you can come up. And I'm not going to call you by name, but I might. And I know your daddy, so I'll call him. Yeah, I'm not beyond doing that. Y'all, so come in closer, because y'all do that. I'm going to stand up here for a second. So don't forget your eggs before you leave, please, because I can't eat that many. Also, yeah, come on up, man. Yeah, Caleb's a man. Yeah, you're a man. You be a man. And come on up, guys, if you can. Now, oh, yeah, Dana, tell him what song. Yeah, you told him? That's Matthew's up there running the sound. And we have other men. So, now, men, y'all, yeah, come in a little closer if y'all don't mind. Thank you. Because, you know what? Men need encouragement. Men need encouragement. And God's given us some amazing ladies that believe in you guys. They believe in you. And I don't want the women to join this group, but if you're a lady here and you want to say yes to what God's doing in the men's lives, could you just come stand behind them? Don't touch them. Keep your hands off of Caleb. I know he's pretty, and well, so is Jacob and Nehemiah. But ladies, that would be a great encouragement to the guys, because you're not alone in this. They support us. They do. And so we're going to play a song, and listen. The Lord wants to speak to you as you play. So Matthew, are we ready?